The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
This next guy.
Here's a guy.
I didn't know we were allowed to have him on. This is great. Been a while.
He's been on. I think he was on with me the last time you were gone.
Yeah, he always comes on when I'm on, when I'm gone.
It's by design.
He is affectionately, I like to call him, the Barney Rubble laugh of the sports media.
We should just have him and Chris laugh for the next half hour.
When you said you went to a movie and sat between the two of them.
But it was a terrible movie, but it was funny because I was in stereo.
You could probably go see Sophie's Choice with the two of them and find, or Platoon, and find a way to laugh with the two best laughs in Kings Media.
They're one seeds.
As I said before, the largest collection of cologne in Northern California. Mm. He rarely wears a hat, but is nice enough to wear one this morning. The one, the only, the lovely, the talented, the cheek pinchable, great huggable, love of my life.
Wow.
I love Sean Cunningham. He truly
is. That's too much.
He truly is. He is not only one of my favorite people in this business.
Aww.
One of the few. Shut up. He's one of the few that I also, to this day, I have his phone number memorized.
You do.
I have his.
You've
phone
given it out over the air many times.
All the time. I don't know when the last time I called Sean Cunningham was. Maybe a couple years ago or a year.
You don't talk enough.
We don't really talk anymore. Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm blushing. I'm great. I'm near tears. And by the way, of all the things that I've been impressed with you over the course of since I've known you, you memorizing my phone number is among them, because it is not an easy number. Remember, like back in the day where you'd have like repetitive digits.
Yes.
Mine doesn't. Mine is awful. It might.
I have it
like
too.
Do you have it memorized?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
prove it.
Okay. Well, you know what? We will prove it. I'll tell you what. We'll do this. The first number is 7.
Yes.
What's the last number, Jason?
8.
That's correct.
Wow.
That's all we're giving away. And there's a 3 in there.
Uh-huh,
that's
and a
it.
2.
That's as far.
Stop it.
Also a 9er.
Let's just give it out. Sean, you're comfortable with that. We can do this.
In some combo, we've given out most of the numbers.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a 408 area code, though.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Sean, let's start off with a couple of questions. Actually, I think
question from the audience
should be the this should be the whole segment. Yeah. We talk no Kings. We're just telling Sean stories all day. Sean, if basketball Jesus came to you, and he said, Sean, that's a lot of cologne. Also, I can't not laugh when Sean laughs. If basketball Jesus came to you and said he would guarantee a Kings title this season, but in exchange you have to give up 6 months off the end of your life, whenever that may be, but caveat, you get to see that it's not, you don't die in 5 months. You know what I'm saying? You'll get to see the title and the parade and all that. But you have to give up 6 months off the end of your life. Do you take the deal?
Wow. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Odds are it's the year old and poop in your pants part of your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the time. And if you're like me, I mean, come on, let's be honest. Like, that's going to be some tough sledding down the way. So,
I'm with you, dude. Yeah. You and I are going to be next to each other, though.
But isn't there another question, offshoot for Sean on that from the listening audience?
Yes, I want to say,
and by, he'll know where this comes from. Maybe.
By the way, 1,000 votes in. That was our question of the day. 58% would also give up 6 months off the end of most popular answer. They've already taken 6 months off my life.
Right.
Anyways, Sean, that being said, you would 100% give up 6 months off the end of your life for a Kings championship. Same question, Kings championship, but for the rest of your life, would you give up Bottle Rock?
Oh, God, no. Not at all. Not
you
want to
think
sir.
About it?
No.
Why don't you think about
exactly.
it? Come on,
no,
you could go to Country in the Park. You could go to Bonnaroo.
Yeah,
you could
all
go
sorts
to
of concerts.
Lollapalooza 26. I don't know.
But Sean loves Bottle Rock.
That's the thing about Bottle Rock, though. It comes at like the perfect like time for me, because you think about the NBA season, you think about what lies ahead with NFL, like Memorial Day weekend in Napa, where it's not too hot, it's not too cold, and I just, the whole setup of Bottle Rock, I'm in my own bed by midnight every night. That's phenomenal.
All right.
I love it.
By the way, sort of breaking news in the world of breaking news that I actually assumed had already happened. You know, like when somebody dies, it's morbid, but you're like, oh, wow, they're still
alive.
No, nobody died. Well, their career did.
I did get an alert.
Blake Griffin has announced his retirement.
Oh, I was going to say, I did. I thought you were doing another alert that I did get.
I did, too.
Oh, yeah. What? Yeah. No.
Sean, you want to break the
no.
You want me to?
Yeah.
It's not my story.
It's not mine either.
Whitey Herzog passed away.
Who?
Whitey Herzog.
Oh, yeah. Cards manager?
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, how old do you think he was?
Okay. I legit, honest to God, thought Whitey passed away. Like, didn't Whitey?
Herzog.
I
know. We need to keep saying Herzog.
No, yeah, Whitey Herzog. Not, yes. Yeah. No, wait, hold on, dude. I thought, who am I thinking of that had a brain thing? That, and I thought he passed.
Dick Houser, I think.
Dick Houser. Oh, yeah. It was the wrong Royals. Missouri baseball team. Oh, how old was Whitey Herzog?
91.
Oh, so we lost Roger Craig and what? God, that sucks.
Yeah.
Whitey Craig, Whitey Herzog and Roger Craig within the same year.
Would they have given up 6 months of their end of their lives for a Kings championship?
Here's one that'll bake your noodle, Sean. How do we know they weren't supposed to live six more months? How do we know they didn't already? Yeah. Well, at least in Herzog's case.
Championship coming.
Here you go. All right. Enough of that.
Yeah.
Sean. Is tonight a must win?
I think by definition, yeah, I think it really is. And you know what's funny? Like, I asked the stupid question yesterday. I was like, can this compare to a game seven, realizing that there's no series?
Hold on.
Did you ask it to De'Aaron Fox?
Did you ask it to Fox?
Yes, I did.
Let's see how De'Aaron, we just played this clip, and we'll do it again. Here's De'Aaron Fox trashing Sean Cunningham for a stupid question.
I mean, I think it's going to be crazy. I don't know if you can replicate a game seven in the playoffs. I mean, I think that's pretty hard to do, but like I said, this is the closest to a March Madness type of feel that you're ever going to get.
That's a pretty good comparison, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, a stupid question can elicit a brilliant response.
But here's the thing. Dumb, stupid call.
Go ahead.
I was thinking in terms of like the atmosphere, because, you know, game one last year, Golden One Center, game seven last year, Golden One Center. I mean, just phenomenal atmospheres in terms of what this crowd, the city, this team, and it obviously, you know, it didn't culminate in a win for game seven, but it certainly was a big boost in game one. And I think they feed off of it. We know how teams feed off of it. And I'm wondering how it might compare similarly to those two environments, because, hey, we know this isn't a playoff game with the air quotes, but it is. It is for a lot of these fans, knowing that, you know, injured or not, limping into the postseason or not, playing your best basketball or not, this city usually brings it. This fan base usually will do their part. And I'm really, really curious to see what it looks like.
Sean, so I would say going in, and Dave and I have talked a lot about this, like more things favor the Warriors tonight. One, they're literally favored to win. They're playing better. They have a healthier roster, but it's one game. And I think that's what helps in the Kings' chances of being great for 48 minutes. But what's the way? What's the avenue? What's the path for Mike Brown and the Kings to, I guess, pull off what would be deemed an upset?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you can really rack your head, your brain against the wall trying to figure out how are you going to stop the Warriors? How are you going to, match up against their size and their athleticism and things that have typically given you fits in the series? And I think Steve Kerr and his staff are going to do the same thing. But when you've got literally three games of a four-game series come down to 1 point, and even in the preseason you had a one-game come down to 1 point, and you've seen what it looks like when you don't have De'Aaron Fox. You've seen what it looks like when Harrison Barnes doesn't play a role, a prominent scoring role in this series. You see what it looks like when you don't have Keegan Murray for a game. Domantas Sabonis, obviously, in last year's playoff series, had his fair share of up and downs. We don't have to go through that. But I think you can get almost, especially in a one-game scenario, you really have to come out and play your game. And the only thing that I'm very confident in saying, at least from a Kings standpoint, is I expect De'Aaron Fox to come out and have that absolute star quality type of game, because that's what he's done. I mean, you look at the three games that he's played this season, a 39-point effort, two 29-point efforts, and he just gets up for these games against his buddy Steph Curry and the Warriors. Now, that being said, the Warriors have also had success when De'Aaron Fox does that. So in my mind, you know, hey, yeah, it might be nice that you've got this these defensive upside to you on your team, you know, be it the 14th ranked defensive rating or whatever, but clearly you've unlocked something with the addition of Keon Ellis, who has only played 5 minutes in this season series and obviously wasn't a factor last season's playoff game. And even Davion Mitchell, and the two of those, we've liked what we've seen, but I like what that looks like, but to me, it's going to come down to scoring. And I don't know that the Kings can keep pace with the Warriors with what they can do from a scoring standpoint. But the thing that gives me pause is only really one game this season series has come down to a game where it was a knockout drag out fight where it was just right around 100 points. And that was one of the games that was, that was a 1 point game. So there are a lot of things that intrigue me about it, but you're right, Jay, in that one win and take all kind of game, you throw everything out the window and you concentrate on you and do what you can to outscore the other team.
To your question, you know, the Kings have never won a game seven. We've talked about that before. Do they have it in them, Sean, with no Monk, with no Herder, the way they've ended the season, the way the Warriors have ended the season, in your mind, for example, it's a 2.5 point spread. The Warriors are favored at Golden 1 Center. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I do actually think it's fair. I mean, there's certainly a big brother, little brother, and there are all the storylines that, you know, the Kings just haven't done it yet, right? So for simple fact of not being able to do it, yeah, I wouldn't favor them in this matchup, and I probably wouldn't pick them at this matchup. Yeah. But I actually do like them in a one-game scenario, and it's just crazy enough. And when you think about the theme or the tenor of this season alone, like, it would be so Kings, right, to beat your nemesis in a play-in game, one that really isn't a playoff series anyway, and their fans and their media will tell you, well, you didn't, even if it happens, well, you didn't really do anything. Yeah, it's just a play-in game. Right. It doesn't really mean anything. But in the heads of, I think, this Kings team and this franchise and this fan base, it will do something. They'll look at it as this tremendous accomplishment. And then if they go and get shelled in the next game by either New Orleans or the Los Angeles Lakers, well, then your season ends, and what did you really accomplish? And that would almost kind of be the theme of this season. So I do think, hey, go out there and win another, you know, live to see another day. And I do think it would matter a lot to this team and this fan base.
Jason, I know you know this too, but I'm just going back through. They lost to Golden State at home, 122-114 on Friday, October 7th.
Yeah, the home opener.
Yeah. Since then, they've played them three times. I just want to remind everybody that those were all –
1 point games.
1 point.
Yeah.
Games again. Just.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Well, and that's that. I mean, it's.
Unless we're winning.
Right.
Yeah. That's okay then.
That's the way I felt. And I don't know how you felt last year, Sean, if we go back to last year's postseason. That was my stance. When it was happening, when it ended, yes, the Warriors won 4-3. They advanced. I didn't leave that series going the Warriors were better than the Kings or vice versa. When the Kings were up 2-0 and. Even when they won, I think their best win maybe in franchise history here in Sacramento is winning game six or one of them. I just felt it was about as even as it gets. And then we get to the preseason, two great preseason games. The regular season's 2-2. I know it's a little different not being fully healthy for the Kings, but I really feel like these two teams, and they also have the same record, by the way, in 9-10, just tiebreaker puts the Kings at 9. It does feel like they're even. It's just kind of what Dave said, Sean, that the way each team's playing going in feels that's where the advantage is right now for the Warriors.
Yeah, and again, for me, it's like neither team can hold on to a lead. I mean, right. The Kings have come back from 24 down in this series this season to win a game in that play-in tournament game where it was all on the line for the Warriors. I thought that was kind of like one of those, you know, bench.
Did you mute yourself? Oh, there we go. Sorry, muted yourself, Sean. We lost you for a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, just that in-season tournament win I thought was a kind of a feather in the cap for the Kings to kind of get over there and kind of end their hopes and dreams for that. But the thing that really bothers me is just the Kings stumbling into the this play-in situation. Yeah. Obviously, you're not healthy, but leads – not only can they not hold on to a lead, they can't close out games. And that's something they did really, really well last year, is really close out games well. And that's something that just hasn't been there this year. So, but again, in a one-game playoff, in a one-game winner-take-all, you just throw everything out the window. I mean, it is March Madness. It is going to be madness. And you know what's crazy? Like, people can say how much they love the play-in tournament, and I think I'm one of them. But this game between the Kings and the Warriors is clearly far and away going to have more of the drama and the theater than the other matchup with the Warrior, or excuse me, with the Lakers and the Pelicans, because by virtue of one team's season not ending, someone's season is definitely ending tonight at Golden 1 Center.
So it's a must.
That's nice basketball, Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a must win.
It's a must win. Sean Cunningham, Fox 40. excuse me, hold on. Fox 40, Emmy-winning journalist Sean Cunningham from Fox 40. How do I know that? Because it's over his left shoulder. That's nice.
Right over there?
That's a nice background.
What'd you get the Emmy for?
Yeah.
It comes from a different station. But,
yeah. Whatever.
But you still earned it.
I actually put it there to remind me of some of the Keeping the Kings long form coverage that I did at a different station that was Emmy award winning.
Wait, you got an Emmy award for the whole Keeping the Kings thing? That's awesome.
This saga. Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Yeah. And not only that, but the cool part about it is I'm actually up for one this year.
What? What's the
what fur?
Yeah, what fur?
Well,
best supporting actress in a dramatic role.
That's the thing. I probably jinxed myself because it's in the consideration, but it hasn't been yet nominated. But I think by virtue of it, there's only a couple that have been in that category. I think it's a shoe-in, and it's some of the great work we did with the long-form Republic stuff. So the Return to Hughes, I helped produce that whole thing with the boys over at the Sacramento Republic. Fingers crossed, I think we'll win that one.
I saw that, as a matter of fact. I did. I saw that. It was okay.
Is it not?
He said, "What trash?"
Yeah. Said, if Dave's trash? Voting, I don't think so, Sean. Sorry.
If I'm reviewing it, I'm Mark S. Allen. I'm saying 5 out of 5 stars. Would see again. if I'm Christopher Lott, I'd say
it was okay.
It was all right.
Better luck next time.
Yes. Hey, did you try your best? Or did you have fun?
I really tried my best.
Sean, I don't remember the question I was going to ask you, so I'm gonna. Oh, I do remember that. Nope, lost it again.
Okay,
because we started. Damn it! I reset the interview and I lost the. Oh, we asked Kyle Draper earlier. I'm going to ask you the same question. I forgot the question I was going to ask you, even though I've asked the same question an hour ago. Does Domantas Sabonis have the most pressure on him? And I'm not trying to lead you into that, but does he have the most pressure of anyone?
That's an interesting take. I could see that. Sure. He's kind of, in my opinion, I mean, he's obviously had his bugaboo with this Warriors team and their size and their athleticism. Kevon Looney's coming off the bench now, and Trayce Jackson-Davis is like that defensive stalwart for them, even though he's a rookie and he's got a lot of experience, but he doesn't really have a lot of experience against the Sacramento Kings yet. So I'm curious to see what that looks like. They probably are going to leave him on that island a little bit.
Yeah.
To see if they, what they, in any, you take away two of his best DHO dribble handoff options with Malik Monk and Kevin Herter. So I think there might be a little bit of a built-in excuse, but I want to see Domantas Sabonis, even if he's taking advantage and just, okay, I'm on the island, let me shoot this mid-range, to show that he has an aggressive scoring mindset. I'm a little concerned he hasn't, even though he's got several games of 18 points. I think in the last like 12 or 15 games, he's only had like 2 or 3 20-point games. I'm always a proponent of wanting to see Domantas Sabonis be a little bit more selfish and score more. So, yeah, I think for himself, I could see that. To be honest, guys, they're one of the guys that kind of sticks out at me like a sore thumb for pressure is kind of Keegan Murray a little bit. Can you imagine if this season ends and Keegan, who's made great strides defensively, kind of limps into the offseason with a game that he wasn't very impactful on the offensive end? And I think that could put a lot of it's weird to be talking about a player like that who's only in his second year, but I think if he has a really solid game, it's a much better way to go into the offseason with, whereas, you know, no matter what De'Aaron Fox or Domantas Sabonis play like, there's some built-in excuses, and you know what they're going to bring. And the fact is, those two guys are coming off of sensational seasons.
Sean, we were talking about your Emmy. So let's kind of go like the let's write a script here. Let's paint what would be the worst possible finish to this game for the Kings and the best possible. But you can get creative here to get you another Emmy. You're writing this for future shows.
Yeah, come on there, journalist Capital J.
Okay, let me see if I understand the question one more time. The best outcome?
And the worst. We're doing this just Kings' perspectives, from the Kings. So paint a terrible picture of how this ends and then a great one. And obviously a win and a loss is the obvious, but how? You know, let's paint a good one.
Let's go with the good first, because obviously, like, I mean, there are some stats to back it up. Like, if the Kings have a lead at halftime, that's good, because they are really bad when they don't. And if they can have the lead going into the fourth quarter, I think it was like 47-8, 42-8, something like that.
And they all came in the last 2 weeks, yeah. All eight.
Yeah, I mean, those things would be incredible. That's a pathway, and if they're scoring the ball, and if they're scoring and it's up there, I can see it. And winning this, I think, does give them some momentum, because let's say they play the Pelicans. This is looking far ahead. I mean, the Pelicans have had ownership on them. That's phenomenal. But 6-0, can they go 6-0 against them in a season series? Sure. But I don't know that I would bet it. But I also kind of look at the Lakers and go, hey, they've had some domination over the Lakers. I don't know if anyone wants to see LeBron in that playoff series. So I do think there is this thing of momentum in these situations, but could it go bad? Sure. And I think if this is a blowout game, a vintage Steph Curry-like performance that we've seen, or even a game 6 Klay Thompson, as we've kind of seen before as well, like, I don't know if this heads to an exit tonight for Sacramento in a grand blowout fashion, I do feel like that would be a really hard thing to take into the offseason, because let's face it, they wanted to see what this team looks like in a playoff series again. And if you only get it for one game, do you really, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know that you feel fulfilled enough, even though you maybe should.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. I'll ask.
Oh, sorry. Just sorry.
I'll ask him. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Take care.
That didn't win an Emmy.
That was on the phone. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to be rude, but I'm not, when I see caller ID, I'm not turning this down. It was Basketball Jesus.
Oh, whoa.
He's been big on the show today.
Yeah.
And no. He's listening on the app, and
on the app,
and he has a follow up question for you on this, Sean. He actually said he really liked your answer, but he said, "I'm gonna
impersonate him again."
He wants to give you one of two options, Sean. Which is the better outcome? I am Basketball Jesus. Outcome one, my son, Harrison Barnes. 42 points, and the game winner, Domantas Sabonis, a 35-point triple-double, and the game winner. What would be the better, more feel-good for you tonight? Because you were talking about Keegan Murray and him limping in. Well, Harrison Barnes, they say, you know, they like to say he played all 82, but he actually showed up in 70. So going into the offseason, what do you think would be the cooler, more fun storyline? Sabonis or Barnes vanquishing the Warriors?
To me, it's Barnes, especially given his history with the team, the relationship with Draymond Green, the unceremonious end to not only his career with the Warriors, but even remember missing the potential game-winning shot. Yep. and Draymond Green saying, we've seen that movie before.
Yep.
I got this long shot of them after the game. Obviously, you know, they all hug after the series, and famously missing from that, you know, hugs and handshakes moment was Domantas Sabonis, who was in the locker room stewing. But the one I didn't think I'd have on my bingo card was Draymond Green going over to Harrison Barnes and looking like they were going to attempt to try to patch things up. It's nice in the moment, because Draymond can obviously recognize the moment, even though it may not be the most sincere, but Harrison Barnes stood there, took it like a man. And I think it might've led to some good things in terms of maybe repairing some of the things, because look, like, those guys were pretty close when they were together, and to see that thing kind of come spiraling the way it has, it would be interesting. So for him to have a little bit of piece of payback, as opposed mm-hmm. to something like Domas, mm-hmm. who I don't really think needs the moment as much as somebody like Harrison Barnes does, would be really special, I think.
Sean, I want to ask you too about Jordy. Looks like going to the Nets. Your thoughts about the Kings losing out, and we knew it was a matter of time, but it looks like Jordy Fernandez going to the Nets.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny, because I didn't think that we would have – I didn't have much confidence that Jordy Fernandez would be on the Sacramento Kings next year, just because of a lot of the successes that he's had, not only just international basketball and FIBA and what he's done for Team Canada. He obviously famously was a key cog in the Nigerian team with Mike Brown, but this is a guy respected throughout the league. He's got a ton of connections. People think very, very highly of him, especially with his days in Denver. And he's one of those bright young minds. And I think that's the type of coach you want to put around a young team that isn't necessarily have the most veteran presence on their team and can maybe go out and try to lay their own foundation. I'm, for his sake, I'm kind of glad it's not Charlotte. So I'm happy to see him go to a team like Brooklyn, where there might be a little bit more stability. But that being said, like, I'm curious to see what the trickle down is with his absence. Like, does somebody get brought up? Does somebody get brought in? Does somebody like Lindsay Harding possibly go with him to Brooklyn as well? Could be interesting. She's obviously up for her own interview with the Charlotte Hornets. So, and if his absence, if she doesn't go with him, does that lead to a spot on the bench with Mike Brown and elevate from the Stockton team? So Mike Brown is super well connected, but I think this is one of those moments when people like go, oh, you don't want to lose Jordy Fernandez or a member of the coaching staff. This is good. This is absolutely a beacon of light for the Mike Brown staff, and providing opportunities for coaches on the on other staffs is what this league is all about. And good for him. I'm thrilled for him and his young family, and I think Brooklyn is a good landing spot for him.
We're out of time. Sean Cunningham, Fox 40, Emmy Award winner, has taken many pictures with many celebrities. Who wins and what's the score?
Oh, I hate you.
You only hate me because you know who you're going to pick.
But yeah, remember, I'm sorry.
We're journalists.
If I have the proverbial gun to my head, I am picking the Warriors.
Oh, come on, Sean. Jeez, what a negative. Come on, man. Where are you? Go to move to Oakland. Jeez.
I know. I would love to be wrong. I wasn't. I thought it would go seven games last year, and I thought the Warriors would win in seven. But the thing to me is I think it's too beat up, and I just don't love the way the Kings are playing. They've had some moments, but the Warriors right now are just automatically clicking. And while it doesn't matter in a one game series, we know this, and we've heard players and coaches talk about it, they're right. But if you're trying to pick a winner.
Yeah.
Sorry. Score wise. I don't know. How about 118-109?
No overtime though. Right. Can't handle that.
Oh, ugh. Well, here's the thing. If it is, then the 118, yeah, I did that for you.
Yeah,
the 118-109 would actually mean it was a really terrible overtime period, and you're going to feel even worse.
That's great. About well, Sean, I hope we're wrong, buddy, and I hope everybody drags us tomorrow if we are.
You said we, so you're with me then.
I'm not with you, like, in the sense of that makes it sound like we're ganging up on the – if I had to bet my house, car, and kids on who's going to win tonight, and I was forced to do it, I would bet on the Warriors, and I really hope I'm wrong. But for all the reasons you said, just the way the Kings are shorthanded, the way they both ended the season, the fact that the Warriors have been here before, the Kings have never won a one and done or a game seven. So, again, there's precedent. Stranger things have happened, so we'll see. Either way.
That's why they play the games.
Yes, all right.
Love you, buddy. Thank you so much for coming
Thanks,
on.
Thanks,
man. Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye. That's Sean Cunningham, Fox 40, Emmy Award winner. We'll take a break when we come back. What to watch? We got an idea. And a little bit more. We'll do all that right after this.
Bleed black and purple.
Baby.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on your local sports leader,
Sacktown Sports.
I was just having this conversation with our friend Sonia down the hall. We've had this before. If we ever get a chance, which we never will, to interview Jack White of the White Stripes. I just want to know if he was sitting there smoking, drinking a beer in the whatever, you know, where was he when he came up with that Seven Nation Army baseline? Like, was he in studio? Was he just plucking away on the couch watching, he's a huge Detroit guy, watching a Lions game? Where was he when he was just like on the bass? Ding, ding, ding.
Isn't it his guitar?
Oh, it was a bass. Is it a guitar? Whatever. So. Whatever the thing with the strings. And was he on his couch? Was he a screw? Because, you know, everyone has a musician friend. And they always have their instrument around. They're goofing on it. Or was he, like, really trying to come up with something? Like when Paul McCartney was, we saw that video of him coming up with Get Back. Or and then when he came up with it, was he like, hey, Becky, or whoever was with him, like, listen to this. Ding, 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 ding. Ding. And whoever he was with was like, hey, okay, that's great. Did he have any idea that that's arguably the most recognizable. And yes, I'm aware of Sweet Emotion and Thunder Kiss 65 and all the wonderful riffs out there, that that's arguably the most recognizable riff in the world right now. Did he have any idea?
No, of course not.
Did he even go, hey, I'm really on to something? Or was he just like, oh, okay, I'll make this song? Most people don't even know, like, there's lyrics to it. I mean, okay.
Yeah, DeMontis Sabonis.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Brandon says it's a bass. The riff is really simple. And that's the thing. I agree. That's really simple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So it's 7 notes. Like, why, I could do that.
Could you?
No, but I feel like it's not like, could I dunk over Frederick Weiss like Vince Carter? Nope, couldn't do that. Could I sit there and just go, bing, like there's a guitar right down there. Why can't I go down there and be like, ding, 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 ding. Oh my God, worldwide fame. No, this guy. All right.
It resembles the sound of a bass guitar. Sorry, Brandon.
Uh-oh. But it's a guitar? Oh, is that a reputable source? Or is
White
that...
connected a semi-acoustic guitar to a Digitech whammy pedal, a pitch shift whammy effect, lowering the pitch by an octave.
So, again, is that a reliable source, or are you on, like, Music Max?
I am on Seven Nation Army Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. Well, that is legit.
I didn't know they had their own Wikipedia.
And Paul Riddle is saying the same thing.
Oh, well, if Paul says it, that's your guy.
Yeah.
Must be true. Jack White said it was a detuned acoustic. We call that a D2 stick. I almost got you.
Yeah,
I almost got you. What to watch tonight? How about the... Well, you know, we should also call this what to listen to.
Yeah.
Because the Warriors and Kings, right here.
Will you watch the JV game first? Lakers-Pelicans?
Yeah. A little bit. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I think I am
What do you want to happen in that game?
I mean, again, I don't...
Without knowing, because it's first. We don't know what will happen with the game.
Now we're... Again, for those of you who are always wrongly like, that's a jinx. Like I said, I'm the professor of jinxes. I understand what a jinx is and isn't. We're entering into jinx mode right now. I know exactly what I want to happen. I know exactly who I want to win that game. I'm afraid to say it.
Okay.
Because if I do and it happens and we win and we play them, it's like, see, you thought you were going to. It's like when you ask an athlete, it's exactly like when you ask an athlete, like, hey, who would you guys like to play in the first round? And every once in a while, there's one of them dumb enough to say, oh, the Bears. And then they play the Bears, and the Bears won, and then it's all over the place. And it wouldn't be the same, but it is jinxy. I will say this, philosophically, if there was a situation that arose and you had the choice to play two teams, both of them on the road, and team one, you mentioned a JV, the JV game. You look like the JV team in all, let's say you played them 4 or 5 times.
Right.
And you just got white. They basically used you as toilet paper. You are the toilet paper of this team. And you're the toilet paper of this team after a rough weekend of drinking and carousing. Mm. That kind of weekend. Call that a 2.5 roll Monday. Okay. Or you have a chance to go up against another team that, hey, you know, maybe they have some Hall of Famers and they've been there before, maybe.
Just an example.
Yeah. But let's say you went undefeated against that team.
Oh, interesting.
And on top of that, one of their future Hall of Famers, let's say you had some weird losing streak randomly to one of your players, like had never beaten that guy, a double-digit streak.
I'm getting crazy. None of this is real.
What I'm saying is, in that world of make-believe.
And one team's closer, like the trip would be closer
than
the
closer.
Other?
One would no doubt be more of a fun road trip to make.
Mm.
Food-wise.
Yeah.
But one's, let's say, what do you want to say, like less than an hour of a flight? Maybe an hour?
I don't know who these teams are talking about.
I don't know either. I'm just saying this make-believe world. I'd want to play the team that was closer to you, that you were undefeated against and whose Hall of Famer had never beaten your center. Or a guy on your team.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
And let's say the guy on your team's name was Flagontis Plahonis, and he was
that's an odd name.
Let's say 10-0 against Schmanthony Glavis.
Hmm.
I'd want that.
Okay.
Jason Ross.
Yeah. Your thoughts.
I don't know. I hope I kept that as non-specific as possible.
Yeah, you did. Good job.
Cards and A's tonight.
Okay.
This time it's for real.
I'm sorry, I'm not gonna watch that game tonight.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna be on the old viewer either.
Not tonight.
Giants and Marlins. I'm definitely watching that one.
There's one game tonight.
There is really only one game. It is a
and this time
it's for real.
It is for real.
By the way, I'm kind of locked in, dude.
You going?
Just got the tickets
in the queue?
In the queue.
You're going.
I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm blessed. I'm privileged.
Yes, all of the above.
Also, you ever have a dentist appointment and it's like
yesterday.
The dentist appointment. Okay. Well, you're probably not like me, but the worst part of the dentist appointment is the hours before the dentist appointment. And then you get through it and then you're like, oh, okay. Like the rest of my, there's going to be no nap today. I'm going to be too amped up, man. Mm-hmm. Probably have trouble eating. Actually, the leftover chili. I'll eat. But
sorry. Man, if you don't want to feel any of those, I'd be happy to take that burden off your plate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to those sitting near Dave tonight.
Dude. Seriously.
Chili and nervousness?
Chili is nervousness. Fear farts are a real thing, bro. Let me.
You gave him chili?
Yeah.
Stinky.
However, directly behind the Warriors bench.
Oh. Can you be in front of?
You see, it's I know we got to go to break.
Should I tell my guy to bring his mask?
Well, it depends on which way the wind's blowing, pal. Either way,
I'm behind you.
Yes, you are.
Oh. Eat rises.
The one center ain't golden tonight. By the way, if you're gonna throw a chicken wing on a court, you probably shouldn't have somebody film you and then put it on your Facebook page with the caption of "Hey, look, I'm famous." I'm not going to mention any names or say who because that's their business.
But so they did that?
In case you're wondering, the person that threw the chicken wing was actually had somebody film him throw the wing.
You said it's a him.
And then post him, her, you're right, yeah. And then posted it on their Facebook page. I saw it myself, and all his buddies were like, you're famous. Wait a minute. I hope it was worth it, dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
perfectly good wing.
Perfectly hot. It's hot. It's tender. It's a chicken wing. What a great Fire Wings reference, too. We'll take a break. When we come back, Styles and Watkins and Watkins and Styles, the fastest growing midday show, radio show even, in the whole land. TV's Alan Styles. He's joining us next.
It's time for the news of the day.
The latest headlines, the biggest stories,
hard-hitting analysis.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
And now,
here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now we're going.
Chris Watkins.
What's up?
TV's Alan Styles.
That's right.
Hello, hello.
I saw you guys on TV yesterday.
That's right.
I guess they lost our phone numbers.
Must have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of our numbers.
Yeah.
So that's good. You did well.
Thank you.
I love it when, I worked with this guy and every time he went on TV, mm-hmm. He'd do a TV thing here locally, and then his show was after mine. Every single time he'd go on TV, he'd find a way to play the audio of his TV appearance on his show, but act like it wasn't a... oh, yeah, and this is what I said yesterday.
Yeah.
And the whole, he used to get killed because the whole audience would be like, bro, you're flexing. And then you guys are both back today, right? What, at noon? Down there?
Not to our knowledge, no.
No?
No, I believe it's just
be
the drive
show.
Guys.
Oh, damn duh, show. You're doing the show. Yeah. You're back at noon.
Yeah.
Where
just
are you?
Just you, though.
Back here?
Not me.
Are
you.
You hopping on with us?
No, he's going back on Channel 3.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't ask Alan back.
Oh, he's on the air.
Didn't ask me.
Didn't ask you.
You know, on the air.
They were on yesterday.
It could have been those two yesterday,
yeah.
And then you or me. Wow. I would have defaulted to you.
Sure.
I would have. I promise. Today, but they went, no, we'll take Jason again. Yeah. That Chris Watkins, he comes second on the show.
Right.
All right, hold on.
Hold on.
I'm Chris, so real quick, hold on. Chris? Come on, man.
I'd say 7.
Thank you. I told Chris I was going to try to make it awkward at the beginning of the thing with the whole. I did the whole thing about playing the clip because she's recording it in there. And I said, give me a rating as to how awkward I could make it, and I got a 7. Thank you, Chris.
I didn't think it was that awkward. There.
I was really hoping the most awkward part would be the playing the clip on the show to follow up.
Well, we did look at each other.
I saw you looking at him, and I did not look over because I was going to lose it. I was going to cry.
Hey, I'll wear it.
Of course you play the audio.
It's relevant.
Of course you do. No, and you flex it. You flex it. No offense, but KYDS and UC Davis, I mean, that's a great station. It's a great station. It's what I'm saying is we're talking about where the news comes first,
that's
baby.
Right. That's right.
Channel 3.
That's right.
As somebody who's been on that KYDS station many times.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you going on?
I'm going to give this a 9. This is like a 9.5 now. He really landed the plane there.
Are you excited today, Jason?
Sure, absolutely.
So wait, is it at noon is actually happening?
I think so, yes. Okay. Not yes. I think, yes. It's supposed to be happening again.
TV's leasing its all.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Drive Guys will be out at DoCo, though, today.
They will be.
2 to 6.
Yeah, we know. Yeah. They were on earlier.
Sorry, you know.
Kyle came on.
I heard.
Yeah, you had Kyle on. You don't have us on.
What is this?
You're on right now.
But hold on. I'm going to take that shot and reject it real quick. Over under on 7 times I've brought up you guys coming on the show and cross-talking. Actual appearance where I'm like, hey, guys,
over under 7?
Come on.
I'll give you 3.
I'd say at least 4.5. Where I've been like, hey,
the half.
You guys should come on with us and we should go on with you every once in a while. Like, not the crosstalk, but the actual during the shows.
That's right. It would get heated between me and you.
Why?
Because I need it.
Why? We had a nice phone conversation yesterday. Sure. I didn't know who you were, what you called.
Yeah, and you. We were in group chats together.
But I don't have...
He was like, who is this?
But I haven't...
I'm like, hey, Dave.
It's true. It's 100% true. I go, hello. And he goes, like, you said it like this. You go, hey, Dave. And I go, who's this? And he goes...
Oh, it must be one of those fans that got a hold of my number.
It's Dave, so I didn't know if you were messing around. I'm like, Alan?
No. We haven't got... Like, remember how you kind of maybe you pressured me into following you on Twitter? Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten there yet where I save your phone number.
Wow.
No,
what am I listed as?
To each other in the group chat.
Well, yeah, but in the group chat, you're like 415 whatever. Like, 925. Sorry. Like, that's how I know it's
just
you.
Just give out the number.
9257?
We did give out Sean Cunningham's phone number today on the
925555.
Yeah. So, no. But you're in my phone.
Kind of.
I will prove to you that you're in my phone, and then we'll move on to celebrity birthdays. Let's see.
It's
here.
A good day, by the
Look,
way.
Look.
I know for a fact you spoke.
What is the
wrong.
Middle number right there?
Yeah, that's See? Just my number. That's not.
Well, but
it's
you're
not
in my
saved.
Phone. It's true. Well, no, it's not saved. I didn't say that. I said you're in my phone.
This is ridiculous.
You have to be here a minimum of 2 years before I save the number, and I have confidence. I'm just saying, you know, it's Gage DK. Let's be honest with you. So, wow. 9.
What is happening?
I'm almost there. It's game day,
dude. This is a strong 9.8 right now.
Game day. We're all on edge. Celebrity birthdays brought to you by Crumble Cookies. Hopefully, there'll be some of those tonight. Birthdays are meant to be spent with family and friends, and nothing brings family and friends together better than Crumble Cookies. Before we get to our first birthday, which I have, weirdly enough, quick question. Alan, who are you rooting for tonight?
I'm beam-blooded.
So that's Kings, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a liar.
All right. Just wanted to make.
Did you see the video yet?
What video?
There is a Baby Styles video where she picks.
And once again... comes up short.
That's true.
I hope so. I here's why I laughed, because when you said Baby Styles, I immediately had this whole thing go on in my head where I thought of like Muppet Babies, but with Gage DK people, where we all became like we got baby
down.
That'd
be awesome.
There was a filter
like
to
behind,
that would be hilarious, right?
Just...
That's why I was not laughing at your baby. I was laughing at the funniness of
all right.
Muppet Babies.
10.5.
Check it out. Yes. Happy birthday to longtime chatter Earl. Earl's birthday is today.
Under 30, Earl? Did he get to 30?
He has not. Earl is the crankiest, oldest man alive. If you ever saw the Keystone commercials where they did bitter beer face, that's his default. He looks like one of the people I see in England, right? Okay. He's 26.
Wow.
How about that? Go ahead, Jason.
And we had a stack day, too. Chance the Rapper.
Chance, that's what he does. Chance is 31.
I'll say 33.
34.
32.
Correct answer, Alan Styles, 31. Wow. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem is 72.
74.
77.
81.
Correct answer. Chris Watkins. Oof. Martin Lawrence.
Martin. Wow. I was just watching Martin this morning.
65. Good story.
Really? 59. Like a 12.
57.
Like a 12. 62.
Correct answer. Chris Watkins, 59. Bill Belichick.
He 73.
Is 70. D.
73.
Yeah, 70. 70.
A bunch of 73s?
74.
73.
Correct answer is 72. Nate Diaz.
Ooh.
Oh, he's 37.
38.
39.
35.
Correct answer, Chris Rolod, 39. Bruce Bochy.
Wow. Bruce Bochy, 73.
71.
75.
72.
69, nice.
Nice. Styles and Watkins coming up next. I assume we're talking Kings?
Monty Poole joins us from NBC Sports Bay Area.
Ah.
Roundtable at 12:30.
Yeah.
Let's get it!
Let's go. Light the beam. Love you all. Bye-bye now.